is always eating and always satisfied. I get full real quick now. I used to eat a lot, but I get full real quick. And there's many more things I'd like to keep on eating, but I'm full. But for those that are spiritually hungry, the more you taste of the Lord, the more you want. The more you desire Him. If you've ever, and I'm sure many of you have, been in that frame of mind, that place where you are hungry for God and you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you only want more of the knowledge and presence of God in your life. Amen? Amen. It's been so true to me and in my mind that every bite is like the first bite. Every thought of the Lord is like fresh and new. He is new every morning. And I want you to be filled with the knowledge of the excitement of that presence of God. It's not something that you should ever pick up and lay down. It's something that should be there satisfying you all through the day, all through your life. The aroma of God is like the smell of a fresh spring morning, and it is beautiful. Satan has come to imitate it. And the world has come to emulate it, and the flesh has come to replace it with anything that it can find. But I believe that those that are spiritual hungry are on the journey of a lifetime. This is the journey of a lifetime. I want you to be excited about this. This is more exciting than anything you could ever do, any place you could ever go. It's the journey of your lifetime. The thrill of thrills is what God provides for those in spiritual hunger. It is something that is new and fresh and filling. It gives continuous joy. We sang that, we sing, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And I say that consistently in my life, rejoicing that. Every promise of the world is nothing without a hunger for Jesus Christ. No matter what you get or what you pursue in your life is empty without a hunger and the satisfaction that only Jesus Christ can bring. No matter what I've desired in my life, no matter what I've attained, if I've attained it or I've gotten it without Christ, it is short-lived and it only satisfies for the moment. The Bible talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. Even the thought that some sins would be pleasurable only lasts for a season. It bites at the end like the adder, and it is that which pulls you away from having that hunger for God. Someone once said to me, and they were quoting another person, that every true story ends in death. And I've rung that through my mind again and again. But for those that are hungry for Jesus Christ, our story does not end at the grave. It does not end in death, but it continues in life. The story for a Christian is not ending in death, but continuing in life. All Christian lives are a continuing story, a continuation of life, which is eternal life. And I give God glory for that, for placing that thought in my heart. I want you to look for a moment in your mind. If you remember Stephen, the first adult Christian martyr of the church, about to be stoned to death, he raises up and he says, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father." His life was not ending. It was, in essence, beginning, because he saw Christ waiting for him. And imagine, if you think that in your mind, if you have that mindset in your heart, that Christ is ever waiting for you with open arms. You are not going to die. You are going to pass from this world into eternity in one fell swoop. It's guaranteed. It's the promise of God. It comes to people that are spiritually hungry. Peter saw a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Paul's life continued. He said, "Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Do you realize that at the end of your life, you are going to be ushered into eternity with Jesus Christ and a crown of glory, and you are united with Christ forevermore? Isn't that something to be excited about? I am thrilled about that. I am thrilled that my story does not end in death. My story begins with eternal life, and it continues throughout eternity. But I'm telling you, the world, the flesh, and the devil would come to seek and destroy you. As a roaring lion, he tries to destroy the very life that you seek to have in Christ. He tries to quench that spiritual hunger by situations, by instances in your life that are devastating. The world makes movies that end with the heroes living happily ever after. But that's not the end of their story. Every hero of the film does meet his end one day, and he dies. But for a Christian, I want to get that in your heart. Your movie goes on forever. It's an ever-running truth that Christ is going to be with you. Satan makes a promise of abundance, but he doesn't tell you the consequences of what you will be giving up. Eve had a beautiful relationship with God. Adam and Eve, in the cool of the evening, God came to them and fellowshiped with them. But Satan tried to rob that spiritual hunger, and he did rob it from Eve. Because he said, this is better. This is better than what you have. Disobey God and take and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come and listen to me and obey me. And she did. And she lost that spiritual hunger. And the reason I see that she lost this spiritual hunger is the next moment we find God comes looking for them in the cool of the evening. And they've hidden themselves. Many people, because of situations, because of the lies of the world and of Satan, have hidden themselves from the spiritual hunger that God wants to give them again. You will never have complete satisfaction in anything you do until you have satisfaction in Christ. That is the only true satisfaction that we were meant and shaped to have. We were created to glorify God and live in the satisfaction that only He can bring. Don't be confused about that. It is Christ first. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else will fulfill you than the love and the presence of Christ in your spiritual life. Spiritually hungry is what you should be at all times. Your flesh comes in the way along with the world and Satan. It craves those things that can never satisfy you. It would be like going to a smorgasbord, to the greatest meal, the greatest table spread out before you. Imagine going to the most perfect meal, just what you want, made by the greatest chefs in the world. And just before you get there, you see you're hungry, and there's a big bag of crackers. And you eat all the crackers and stuff yourself. And when you walk in that meal, you're not hungry anymore. God has prepared a table for those that are spiritually hungry. He has spread a table before you that will give you satisfaction, and you will never be filled up, satiated. You will always desire more because of what Christ puts in you, a spiritual hunger. God has given that and blessed you with that spiritual hunger. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. A life that is to be lived to the fullest must be lived with a spiritual hunger for Jesus Christ. He came that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. The only way to have the abundant life is to have that spiritual hunger for Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The world has duped you. Satan has lied to you. Your flesh has deceived you into thinking there is some other way for satisfaction naked in your life. How many things you have started, how many things you have desired, and once you've attained them, they are short-lived in their satisfaction. Nothing satisfies. And even if you say, well, I'm still happy, I'm still satisfied, think about the end when you reach it, when you reach the end of your life, if you've not made Christ that satisfaction, everything will be taken away. Only one thing remains. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the satisfaction for all eternity. And that will be the satisfaction in this lifetime. If you will make Christ your spiritual hunger, if you will make Christ your satisfaction, you will have satisfaction in everything you do. In everything you do, you will have satisfaction. Some replace the longing of the soul with other pursuits, other interests, with sins, with vices, with things that
could not satisfy, as the old song says. I have this to say to you, that spiritual satisfaction can't be bought, can't even be cultivated. I love Isaiah 55 says, "Oh, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me," Isaiah says, "and eat what is good, and let your soul be delighted itself in the abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." I don't feel the spiritual hunger could ever be purchased or ever be earned. It's like grace. Grace can't be earned or deserved. It's the free gift of God. Spiritual hunger cannot be earned. I don't even believe it can be cultivated. Spiritual hunger is there. You have it or you don't have it. Are you hungry for God today? I'm hungry for Christ this day, to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable under his death. Spiritual hunger is nothing that you can earn, as I say, or deserve. It must be realized. It must be recognized. It must be received. There's nothing you can do to get it. It only can be responded to. When God gives his grace, the only thing you can do is respond to that amazing grace. You can't say, "Okay, now I'm going to pay you for it," or "Now I'm going to work my way up to it." God has given us a free gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he gives us a free gift of spiritual hunger in our lives if we don't block it from having its full reign in our lives. What a truth. Realized, recognized, and received. Instead of trying to get hungry, how can you get hungry? You can't get hungry. We should repent for seeking to satisfy the longing of our soul with any other thing in this world. That's what you should do. You should repent from ever seeking to satisfy your soul with anything other than spiritual hunger for Jesus Christ. Amen. It's repentance that we need. Repent! Be blessed with spiritual hunger for Jesus Christ. Satan has offered us a bait, and we have gone for it, hook, line, and sinker. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that will satisfy you like Jesus Christ. There is no satisfaction other than in Jesus Christ. Some people put the cart before the horse, or the cart without the horse. Let's say that. Even legitimate things, and we've talked about this before, that come before Christ, that are put in your way, they could be, that anything that comes in the way of that true spiritual hunger is not of God. It must be God first, and when God is first in your life, and when you are hungry for God, he will make every other thing that you do joyous. Nothing you pursue will satisfy you. Nothing you could ever desire will completely fulfill the longing of your heart. You realize, I heard somebody said that God has placed a God-shaped void within us, and it can only be filled with God. You may try and crowd it around with every other vice or every other sin or even a legitimate pursuit, but it is God. It's the God part. It is the desire for God that needs to be placed in that puzzle and fit in there, and it is only God that can do it. And it is only that spiritual hunger that will compel you. Again, you can't muster this up. You either are hungry for God or you're not. It needs to be something that you receive by his grace. Christian service will not bring you to a deeper place in Christ, but hungering for Christ will bring you to Christian service. So it's the cart before the horse. Some people say, "Well, you know, I'm gonna read my Bible, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna do all these things, and that's gonna make me hungry for God." I think it's the cart before the horse. You need to have the hunger of God, and that will compel you desire to dig into the Word, to pray with all your heart. Do you think it's you that came to Jesus Christ, or Christ that wooed you? Jesus Christ said, "It is expedient for you to go, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come." When the Comforter comes, you know what the Comforter has come to do? He's come to convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. And your heart was convicted that you were a sinner. You knew that God, Christ was the righteous one, and the judgment was coming to the sinner. And so you said, "I will receive Christ as my Savior." It was nothing you did. It was nothing you built up. It was Christ that gave it graciously to you. And it will be Christ that sustains you graciously in that spiritual hunger. It's the hunger that God stirs up within you. And then he keeps on giving more and more of himself. Listen to this thought. If you remember Christ as he went to Samaria, he meets the woman at the well. I know this is a long scripture, but I believe it really has pertinence to what I'm saying. There comes a woman to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria, now don't forget, the Jews hated the Samaritans. The woman said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldst ask him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast then thou this living water?" You can see her confusion. Christ was speaking spiritual things. She was thinking physical things. "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Whosoever drinketh of the water will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She still was confused, thought it was some kind of a well of eternal life. Well, it was, but not the kind she thought. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus said unto her, "Go and call my husband." The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus says, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, even now is, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship what you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming, and cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah comes. When he comes, which is called Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said unto her, "I will speak to you, and he." And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. What a beautiful truth that is. What a beautiful expression of what spiritual hunger is. The woman at the well, after her encounter with the Savior, was thirsty for living water. But when she first came, she mistook it for regular well water. But Jesus explained then, and that after he explained what that kind of craving was, she began to thirst for that living water, because you see, she immediately left her pot and she went to the city. wasn't even thinking about that regular water. She came and said, look, I met a man that told me all I knew. Could this be the Christ who we longed for and thirsted for? She began to taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, spiritual hunger begets spiritual hunger. The more you hunger for Christ, the more he will satisfy and make you hunger more. It will be a divine addiction, a hunger that just doesn't cease, but is always satisfied in him. That's the kind of hunger we want in our hearts, a hunger that needs Christ, that must have him at all costs, and will not stop in the pursuit of the things of God. Once you've come to the realization as to what spiritual hunger is, that it is not doing but receiving, not working but recognizing, then there is a hunger that seeks continual drink from the well of living water and feasts on the manna, the bread of life from heaven. It makes all you do a feast to Christ. Again, I come back to this. There's many activities that you have. I know you have jobs. I know that you have pastimes. But I'm telling you, without Christ, your jobs, your pastimes, even your family are not a complete joy in your heart. It's only as I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that I enjoy my family, that I enjoy you, that I enjoy everything I do, that I enjoy fishing. I enjoy ice cream because I love Christ. He satisfies my heart before he satisfies my stomach. God has given me joy in my heart because of his presence in my life and the hunger that I have for him, no matter what my situation, trial, or tragedy, or joy. Christ has put a hunger in my heart, in many of your hearts. I know that to be true. I would have no joy in reading the Word of God if the presence of Christ wasn't making me hungry for that. It would become any other book. No joy in prayer. I would recite meaningless, empty prayers without the spiritual hunger to know Christ in my heart. And God has offered that to you. And God has offered that to the world. And the world is desired to take anything but that one necessary truth, that Christ is their all and all. Service can't get you to be spiritually hungry. Nothing can get you to be spiritually hungry but the grace of God to come and flood you with his presence. And then you say, oh, that's what I've been longing for. That is the peace that passeth all understanding. That is the joy of my salvation. The hunger I have for Christ and the desire to know him more in my life. Discipleship, any aspect of spiritual discipline, will not fulfill the spiritual hunger. It may fulfill a need to know and knowledge, but you need to have that unmerited gift of the spiritual hunger that Christ has for you. Again, I come back to this. I'll say it again at the end. We should be repenting for letting anything come in the way of our deeper relationship and spiritual hunger for Jesus Christ. Repent! Turn from it! And come and be hungry for Christ, who has given everything for you and offers you continuously a spread like you've never seen of his love, of his presence. The woman in the well didn't go to classes. She just had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Imagine that. John, from the Isle of Patmos, didn't work his way to heaven. He was caught up. Caught up in heaven. It won't be anything you do that will ever get you closer to Christ. It will be yielding and receiving all that he has for you. It's Christ that's done it all. We receive it all from him. The Bible tells us about the Apostle Paul, much learning, and he had great understanding and zeal, but he didn't have Christ. It wasn't that zeal, it wasn't that learning that brought him to Christ. It was him being struck down
graciously on the road to Damascus by Jesus Christ himself. And from then on, his hunger could not be satiated, but yet he was satisfied again and again as he thought about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He had a spiritual hunger in his heart. I think about the two on the road to Emmaus, and at the end of their encounter with Christ, and did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scripture and said that he was known to them in the breaking of bread? It was not some great learning they had. It was Christ breaking bread as he would break his body, had broken his body for them already at the cross of Calvary. Some beautiful scriptures about this. And I love that song, as the deer pants for the water brook, Psalm 42. And this is written, it says, to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. This wasn't even by David. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. Imagine that. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Christ said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Three beautiful scriptures in John. For the bread of God is that which came down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. We have so many people that call themselves Christians that are hungering and thirsting for something. And God is saying, I am that something. I am what you thirst for. I am what you hunger for. Come and be satisfied with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. And in Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. There is a hunger and a satisfaction in the Lord that can never be attained through self-effort. You can only receive the blessing of Christ. You can't work for it. I would ask you this day to review in your heart, are you hungry for the Lord? And if it's somehow waned in your life, somehow lessened, somehow put on the back burner, and other things have taken precedent in your life, even legitimate things, don't let them keep you from coming to a deeper place in the Lord through the spiritual hunger that he so freely offers to you. God offers that hunger. Who out there, by the raising of the hand, would say spiritual hunger is a good thing? Who would say spiritual hunger is a necessary thing? So then we should necessarily be seeking that with all of our hearts. Seeking that which does or can only satisfy and comes with no cost to you. I would say that the pursuit of spiritual hunger is the greatest pursuit that you could ever seek for. And the pursuit of this is only recognizing what is already there. Only recognizing that Christ has spread this out for you. My prayer for you this day is that you will awaken to the truth of the opportunity that Christ presents before you each and every moment to have a deeper hunger for him, to have a deeper relationship with him, to have a spiritual hunger that only he can satisfy. Lord God, I give you praise this day that you have placed a spiritual hunger in so many of the saints of God. And you offer this day, Lord God, to bring all, Lord God, that maybe have grown cold in that relationship,
to come and be hungry again. To come and be satisfied only with you. I pray, Lord God, that you would stir up a spiritual hunger in each and every individual in this congregation this day, and whoever might hear this message, to stir them up, Lord God, with a hunger for the only one that can satisfy throughout eternity. The only one that can satisfy with the abundant life here and now. The only one that can satisfy the desires of the heart. I pray, Lord God, that none would turn and walk away from that offer that you have paid so much to give. Bless each and every individual here, Lord God, with your grace, with your spirit, with your hunger.